At 5:10 on a raw December afternoon, Joshua Kane lay on a cardboard bed outside the criminal courts building in Manhattan and thought about killing a man. Not just any man. He was thinking about someone in particular. It was true that Kane had at times while on the subway or watching passers-by, occasionally thought about killing a nameless, random New Yorker who appeared to fall into his line of vision. It could be the blonde secretary reading a romance novel on the K train, a Wall Street banker swinging an umbrella as they ignored his pleas for change, or even a child holding their mother's hand on a crosswalk. How would it feel to kill them? What would they say with their final breath? Would their eyes change in that moment of passing from this world? Kane felt a ripple of pleasure feed heat into his body as he explored those thoughts. He checked his watch. 5:11. The sharp, towering shadows flooded the street as the day melted into twilight. He looked at the sky and welcomed that dimming of the light, as though someone had placed a veil over a lamp. The half-light suited his purpose. The darkening sky returned his thoughts to the kill. While he'd lain in the street for the past 6 weeks, he'd thought of little else. For hours on end, he silently debated whether this man should die. Apart from this man's life or death, everything else had been carefully planned. Kane took little risk. That was the smart way. If you are to remain undetected, you must be cautious. He had learned this long ago. To leave the man alive carried risks. What if their paths crossed sometime in the future? Would he recognize Kane? Would he be able to put it all together? And what if Kane killed him? There are always a multitude of risks in such a task. But these were risks that Kane knew, risks that he had successfully avoided many times before. A mail van pulled up at the curb and parked opposite Kane. The driver, a heavy-set man in his late 40s wearing a post office uniform, got out of it, regular as clockwork. As the mailman walked past him and went inside the service entrance to the court building, he ignored Kane lying on the street. No loose change for the homeless, not today. Not for the past 6 weeks either. Not ever. And, regular as clockwork, as the mailman walked past him, Kane wondered if he should kill him. He had 12 minutes to decide. The mailman's name was Elton. He was married with 2 teenage kids. Elton ate from an overpriced artisan deli once a week when his wife thought he was out running. He read paperback novels that he picked up for a buck apiece from a little store in Tribeca and wore furry slippers when he took out the trash on Thursdays. What would it feel like to watch him die? Joshua Kane enjoyed watching other people go through different emotions. To him, sensations of loss, grief, and fear were as intoxicating and as joyous as the best drugs on the planet. Joshua Kane was not like other people. There was no one like him. He checked his watch. 5:20. Time to move. He scratched at his beard, which was almost full now. Wondering if the dirt and sweat added to its coloring, he slowly got up from the cardboard and stretched his back. Moving brought his own scent to his nose. No change of pants or socks for 6 weeks. No shower either. The odor made him gag. Something to take his mind from his own filth was required. At his feet, a moldy, upturned ball cap held a couple of bucks in change. There was satisfaction in seeing a mission through to its conclusion. To see your vision fulfilled exactly as you'd imagined it. And yet, Kane thought it would be exciting to introduce the element of chance. Elton would never know that his fate would be decided in that moment, not by Kane, but by the toss of a coin. Selecting a quarter, Kane flicked the coin, called it in the air, caught it, and laid it flat on the back of his hand. While the coin had spun in the cold mist of his breath, he decided that heads meant Elton would die. He looked at the quarter, shiny and new against the dirt ingrained on his skin, and smiled. 10 feet from the parked mail van sat a hot dog stand. The vendor served a tall man with no coat. Probably just got out on bail and was celebrating with some real food. The vendor took the man's $2 and pointed him toward the sign on the bottom of the stand. Beside the pictures of grilled kielbasa sausage was an ad for an attorney and a phone number below it. Have you been arrested? Charged with a crime? Call Eddie Flynn. The tall man bit into his dog, nodded, and walked away, just as Elton came out of the court building, hauling three sacks of mail in gray Hessian bags. Three bags. That confirmed it. Today was the day. Normally, Elton emerged with two bags, or even a single bag of mail. But every 6 weeks, Elton came out with three bags. That extra mail bag was what Kane had been waiting for. Elton unlocked the rear panel doors on the mail van and tossed the first bag into the back. Kane approached slowly, his right hand outstretched. The second bag followed the first into the van. As he took hold of the third bag, Kane rushed toward Elton.
Hey, buddy, you got some spare change?
No, said Elton, and hurled the last bag into the van. He closed the right side of the van doors, then took hold of the left-hand door and slammed it shut like a man who didn't own it. Timing was key.